Independence Baptist Church wants to welcome you back this morning. Now today, Pastor Reynolds will be talking about mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. And our text for this morning is found in Psalms chapter 85, verse 10. If you have your Bibles, then you can turn again to Psalms chapter 85, verse 10, as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
This morning, we'd like to take our text from the book of Psalms 85 and verse 10, where the Bible states, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." This morning, I would like to apply this verse of Scripture to salvation. I would like to think about the internal reconciliation of a most holy God with sinners. And these sinners have no righteousness or no holiness at all. I would like for us to visualize a scene in heaven. I'm not saying that the way I will show the scene is the exact way it took place, but it does appear that something like this took place. The characters in this scene are the various attributes of God. They are shown witnessing to the truth of two undeniable things. Number one, the complete, total depravity of fallen mankind, and the complete righteousness and holiness of an eternal God. The comparisons of God with man are as follows. God is altogether righteous. He is without any sin at all. He is without any desire to sin. God is altogether holy. He's righteous and pure. He is sinless. But all people on God's good green earth are totally depraved, wicked sinners with a heart that is blackened with the blackest of wicked sinfulness. They are altogether covered with the filth of sin and desire to remain in their own sinful condition. As Job states, they need a daysman to come between them and God. If the Holy Spirit of God does not bring conviction of sin and arouses the sinner to righteousness, they will never, ever be saved. In this passage, Psalms 85 and verse 10, let's read it again. The Bible states, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." There's four main characters in this verse. These are the attributes, and the attribute is simply a characteristic of God. The attributes that are mentioned are mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. Now, God has more attributes than just these four, but these four will give us a real good starting place so we can more fully understand what God did to bring about the redemption of sinners to Himself. First of all, the attribute of mercy desires that the sinner not pay for his sin. That is, that the sinner not get what he deserves. The attribute of truth states that all sin must be paid for. Truth states that it is impossible to just forget sin because the attribute of God's own holy righteousness instantly declares that the sinner cannot come into eternal bliss with God because sinners still have the stain of sin upon them. God's righteousness declares that the sinner is not righteous. Therefore, the sinner cannot enter heaven. The attribute of God's peace immediately agrees, stating that it is impossible for the sinner to be at peace with God and for the sinner to be at peace with the sin unless that sin is paid for. It is about this time that other attributes of God enter into the discussion. The attribute of God's wrath is the first to speak. God's wrath states that the sinner must be punished for his sin and all of his sinfulness. God's wrath will not and cannot rest until all sins are paid for. The mercy of God agrees, but pleads for mercy upon these hell-bound, deserving-to-go sinners. The attribute of God's justice now enters the discussion and states that the attribute of God's wrath is absolutely correct. Justice must be served. Sin cannot be just forgotten. Justice states that the sin debt must be paid, and the sinner is the one who must pay. Justice states that the only way a sinner can enter heaven is to have the righteousness of God upon them. Justice points to the law of God, which demands perfection, not just trying or striving to be perfect. The law of God states that every sinner has broken the law of God and must die eternally because of their breaking the law. The sinner is entirely guilty, and his sins must be paid for by eternal damnation. The attribute of God's eternal justice turns to the attribute of God called vengeance. Vengeance declares these sinners have broken the law of God, and they stand before God, the eternal judge, as guilty. Therefore, vengeance is ready to be poured out upon all those that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is at this point that the attribute of God's mercy cries with a great lamentation. Is there no room for me? Is there no place for mercy? Mercy exclaims that it is rightly understood that the sinner is guilty. The sinner does not have the righteousness of God or any righteousness of their own. The sinner has no peace with God or with anybody else. The sinner is facing the judgment of God alone, with nothing but his exceeding great sinfulness with him. The sinner should have the wrath and vengeance of God poured out upon him without measure. The sinner must spend all eternity in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But the attribute of mercy still cries, "Is there no room for me?" It is at this point that the attribute of God's great everlasting love enters the scene and stands beside the attribute of the mercy of God. Love states that God loves these undeserving sinners with an everlasting love. They have done nothing at all to deserve the love of God, yet God still loves them. God's love demands that these wicked, hell-bound, and deserving to go sinners receive the mercy of God. God's love will be powerless if the justice of God has his way and pours out his wrath in consuming vengeance upon these filthy sinners. It is at this point that the attribute of grace enters the conversation. God's grace declares that all the other attributes of God have spoken truth. Each of the attributes of God has declared the truth that applies to that particular attribute. Grace, however, gives a new and different argument to the discussion. Grace declares that the sinner must receive that which he does not deserve. The attribute of God's grace declares that the only way these filthy, wicked sinners can stand in holy righteousness and true holiness before Almighty and pure God is for God himself to take their place in eternal judgment. The attribute of God's everlasting grace opens the curtains of God's eternal love to show the everlasting Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 states, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, has come into the world and taken sin upon himself. Jesus Christ has allowed himself to be killed by the men he has come to redeem. Jesus Christ has been buried in a rich man's tomb, but the grave could not hold the Son of God. On the third day, Jesus Christ, the righteous King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of this entire universe in which we live, the creator of everything in it, has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ has received his life back into himself even when he was dead. He was indeed the giver of life. In his hands is the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He has shown that he has the power to lay down his life, and he has the power to take it up again. John 17 verse 2 states, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Jesus Christ has the power over his own flesh, and he has the power to give eternal life. No one else has this power. All that will receive forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life must come to Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness of damning sins and to receive eternal life. Today, if you're lost, what you need is a daysman. You need to understand that Psalms 85, verse 10, where the Bible states that mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This verse is speaking about the attributes of God and how they have joined together, and God has completed all things by his own power, by his own might. Salvation is of the Lord. If you're lost, today is the day to trust Christ.
If you've been blessed by the radio broadcast, or if you have additional questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a message from our website. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. You can also leave us a message at 636-673-2180. Or what we'd really love is if you could actually just stop by and visit with us in person. You'll find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Our Sunday morning services start at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, followed by an 11 a.m. worship service. And then in the afternoon, we have a 3:45 prayer meeting and again 4:30 worship services. And we would absolutely enjoy having you come by and join us for services today. Now, I mentioned our website a little bit ago. If you do log into that, I would really encourage you to check out the other broadcasts that we've had. There is a section called audio, and if you go into that, you can go into special services or you can go into radio broadcasts. And there's several out there. Examples might be one called Trust God in All Times, Why Do We Really Need Jesus, or What America Needs. And there's also many different books and articles, such as Teaching Love, The Family, Biblical Contradictions, or Why Bad Things Happen. Now, if you found today's message interesting, then I think what you'll also want to check out is a book by Pastor Reynolds titled The Attributes of God. And as with all books on the website, you can read that in electronic copy absolutely free of charge. Well, our time for today is up, but we are very thankful you've been able to join us this morning, and we hope you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.